Welcome to Fatima and the Family, a joint presentation of EWTN and the Fatima Family Apostolate. This apostolate was founded at the encouragement of the Pontifical Council for the Laity. And now the director and founder of the apostolate, and your host for Fatima and the Family, Father Robert J. Fox.
Welcome to Fatima Family Apostolate. We have our guests with us again this time, Francis and Gail. And I have written the book on Francis's life because 1993, beginning Holy Thursday night before our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament, and then on Good Friday, he was given the wound marks of Jesus Christ, and he has suffered intensely for the conversions of sinners ever since. This book is now available, and please, after you hear these programs, don't be calling EWTN and say, how can we get a hold of Francis? And don't be calling me or writing me for his phone number, his address, because we simply are not going to give it to you. Even the people in the general area around where they live, where they are known, it just about ruined their family life, and we just can't do that. So if anybody would put pressure on me, oh, I got this person sick and so on, you know, if you wrote a letter to me, provided in the letter it indicates that you have read the whole book, not simply because I'm trying to sell the book. Francis, his wife, Gail, don't get one penny from it. I don't get one penny for it. From it, if anything, is there any profit, it goes into the advancement of the Fatima Family Apostolate for the sanctification of the family. And I really believe that this is the reason God has brought us together, because I told you more than once, Francis, that I believe an important part of your mission is the sanctification of the family. You've already told me the book is over 300 pages, 36 pictures. You're not going to read the book. What about you, Gail? Are you going to read the book?
Oh, I'm going to read it, Father. I'm going to find out what he told you that he didn't tell me.
Well, you know, occasionally visiting with you and visiting with brothers and sisters, I would find out that they didn't know. Because you often said, I don't tell people these things. Now, this business of the suffering of Jesus Christ that you go through every night, and I have seen you repeatedly in ecstasy, I believe, and I remember I could shout in your ear, you didn't hear a word that I would say, and I saw you going through the passion, the sufferings of Jesus Christ. There was just one time when you did talk to me. That's in the last, during the ecstasy, and that is in the last chapter. I know it's a very sensitive subject. Do you want to tell us what happens after midnight?
I just assume.
You just assume not. I guess they're going to have to read the book. But the suffering, of course, is, and of course, you know, I say to Francis, you just seem like one of the farmers around my little parish in Alexandria, South Dakota. I don't see a halo over your head or anything.
I was a little farmer.
Yeah. I said to Gail one time, you know, he just seems to me like anybody else. And she said, to me too. And so holiness is not necessarily in externals. And because you yourself have never said, I'm a stigmatist.
No.
You've never said, I am holy. You've never made an effort to try to convince people of anything. And I'm not. I said, you know, people get this book and they want to read it just as a novel and say, I don't believe it. Okay, I hope you were piously entertained. But I know what I've seen. I know what the doctor has said. I know that your bishop says, let him alone.
There was other priests with you, too, that witnessed.
There have been up to three of us priests with you at one time. Well, you didn't know.
I didn't know that. Yeah. So Reynolds told me.
Yeah, well, our Lord said to you, touch my people.
That's
and with your hands, touch my people. And that's one of the chapters here. And have you, and I remember when our Lord first told you this, how am I going to touch people?
Mm-hmm.
And have you been able to touch a lot of people and pray over them?
In the southern part of the state,
don't say
I don't,
state.
No, when I said state, there's a group down there that gets me to the different parishes. And I won't go to a parish, Father, unless a priest invites me from the bottom of his heart, not being pushed into it by a prayer group or something, because I will not go. So they've kept count, and it's up around 26,000 just in the southern part of the state. And I'd say in the northern part and the bordering states, maybe another 10,000.
Yes, and I notice you pray over each one in silence.
Oh, yes.
Nothing sensational. They don't
hear
you say any words. And of course, this morning, Mother Angelica, had you pray over her.
Yes.
She suffers a lot.
Yes.
And I thought, remember, we thought she was going to get two sisters to pray over.
Yes,
she came
she
up the whole works.
I only get two.
I thought she was going to bring all of Birmingham in after that. What did you think when she went and got all those sisters?
I was amazed that that whole group of sisters came. But you know,
I wasn't. I knew it would happen.
You know, Father, if they were touched as much as they touched me, it was beautiful.
But she asked you because she's got a couple very important projects,
yes,
which we don't want to name because we don't know if she's publicized them.
Mm-hmm.
And she's asked you to pray and even to offer some of your nights of suffering up for
her. I promised her on that.
You know, Gail, I noticed you were there. I finally caught on that rather than just watching Francis praying over those sisters, I ought to do some praying, and I forgot my rosary, had to borrow your rosary. And you usually, usually the people are praying the rosary, mm-hmm, and a priest hearing confessions,
right,
while you're doing this. What do you think when you see all of this? And this is the husband and father of your children.
It's beautiful.
Take you a long time to get there?
Yes, it did. It didn't happen overnight.
And because when this thing happened and people start, you might say, just crashing in the privacy of your home, and even the children didn't get a chance to visit with you.
No.
Something happened that you two always had a beautiful marriage, but when our Lord seemed to be claiming Francis just for himself, and something happened that brought you together again, that you really had a meeting of minds again. What was that?
I had a heart attack the day before Christmas.
Last Christmas,
yeah.
Eve.
Christmas Eve.
Yep. And we knew then we had to reassess a few things and get back to basics.
You had just gotten back from Mass, 10 minutes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And children were there.
Yes.
No time to call an ambulance.
None.
No.
They put you in a car, back out. You're 3.5 miles at least from a hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And a policeman just happens
to be there.
Divine providence comes by.
Right.
Red lights. A hunk the car. What's wrong? We got somebody in the car having a heart attack.
Yes.
Follow me. 3.5 miles across town through stoplights and everything. They got you to the hospital, and they said, 2 more minutes, she would have been dead.
Mm-hmm.
Then they have to go ahead, you tell.
No, I said, it's amazing. I just can't believe that yet, you know.
And you know, the family called me. You probably don't know.
No, I didn't know that.
And I don't think you're going to be very proud of me, but my first thought, because I knew the problem you had of having a meeting of minds, how do you deal with this frustration? And I said, oh my gosh, God is going to take Gail to heaven to just let Francis alone for his mission. That's what went through. And here, I wanted both of you for the message of the sanctification of the family. That holiness isn't just for priests and religious, like people commonly thought before the Second Vatican Council. But then you, when you were in the hospital, it took some months recuperating. What did
you do? I was going to be better, though. I had that feeling. I just knew it. I told them, I said, don't worry, I'm going to be fine.
I did, too.
I did.
And you had some real talk, and you both understood. Because remember, I would tell you, you know, marriage is one.
Right.
And if this is his mission, you're part of him. And so the suffering, he has to suffer probably in a different way than you do. And I told you that, and theologically it sounds very beautiful, I thought. But the reality of it, God had to clobber you over the head to get it, huh?
Mm-hmm. And I did a lot of praying, though, to send me the Holy Spirit or do something, tell me what to do. And that's what he did.
You know, when you touch people and pray over them, do you notice a different, people react in different ways?
Oh, yes.
Anything you can explain?
These things are so hard to explain, Father. There was one time, I can reveal this now, there's times that I don't normally talk to people or, you know, ask them their problems or nothing. I don't do that. But in this one particular case, this woman came up. I thought I prayed over her just like I did everybody else. But she sat in the church until it was all over. And she came up and says, would you give me a few minutes? I'd like to talk to you. I said, sure. She says, how did you know my son was in prison? I says, what? I says, I know nothing about you. She says, when you were praying over me, you said, let go. You didn't put him in prison. And I...
You did not remember saying it?
No, and I never seen the woman. She's 400 miles from...
You see, this one time, the only time that you talked to me during a night of suffering, you talked to me and didn't remember that you talked to me the next morning. And you told me some things that were going to happen within the next couple of days that happened. So the Holy Spirit is obviously using you. Is your mission more that God's using you to... You always give the credit to Jesus. You say, I don't work miracles.
That's right.
Is it the main mission to heal bodies or heal souls?
He said, touch my people. No. You know what he does? He throws some beautiful miracles in there, Father. And what has happened when he does put these miracles there, a healing, physical healing, terminal cancer, lupus thing.
Yes.
Now, I don't like to talk about that, but maybe to get the message
well,
across.
Well, I have a long chapter in here on testimonials that I got from people who... were healed physically, but more importantly, people who came back to the sacraments came back to the church.
Yes, it starts with the family, relatives, right, friends. There's one family, I think, because of their son being healed, there's 13 that came back to the church, just relatives.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what it's all about. And I'll tell you, Father, when I hear or get a letter or a phone call that this one came back, my family came back, my kids came back, that touches me more than anything.
Do you really see your mission relative to the call of holiness of the family?
Oh, yeah.
Why?
Oh, you ask me questions, Father. I don't like that.
I think the mere fact that you are husband and wife and what it is doing to families. And I got to make sure I get this question in. I know you never asked me to write this book. I'm a priest journalist, and people say you got to be careful what you say to him.
Mm-hmm.
It might appear in print. You're going to get surprised when you read this. Now that the book is written, you did not object to it, but there's only so many people, and even if you've touched personally, I don't know how many thousands already, what, and you, it's a limitation, how many you can. What do you hope will be the fruits of this book?
I'd say, Father, this book will be in the hands of many, many, many people that I wasn't able to touch. For my age, I don't think I have that long to touch everyone is supposed to go, but whoever reads this book, I feel will be touched just like if I was there touching them like the Lord asked me to.
This has been my hope, because at Charism, I remember, we've been associated now for some years, and I said, do you know Francis? When God gives you a special charism, a charism is not for yourself, it's for others.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was reading the messages that Our Lady has been giving you, and she tells you, this is for others. Well, Gail, you know, he leaves home sometime, and he's gone to these parishes when priests have invited him. And he's gone for sometimes for days, and you're at home. What about that? How do you react to that?
Well, it's something I know he wants to do, and I know he should do it. I miss him. I try to keep busy. I keep a few projects on the side, sewing projects or something, to keep me really busy while he's gone.
You know, something you said to me the very first time I talked to you, that I thought was very beautiful, and that was a time when people were still crashing in on your privacy and had all the natural tendencies of ruining the beautiful relationship and beautiful family life and marriage you'd had. People were insensitive to this. And I said, well, Gail, how do you feel about this? And you said to me, I am willing to share him with Jesus. Remember that?
Yes, I do.
And I thought, well, she's got her heart in the right place. And God is going to
Not going to say some words
about this?
Well, all I can say, I got a beautiful person here. And she really backs me. She sees what's going on, you know.
I love the spirit of evangelization that is in your heart that was put there at a very, very young age. And I imagine you never dreamt. You know, I have childhood, young adulthood, family life. I interviewed brothers and sisters and everybody to put all this together. And, of course, you know, your brother ran the biggest paper.
The biggest help, eh?
And he shared, the family shared, giving pictures. And so we go way back to your childhood.
Well, when I look back, Father, when I look back, I could see what's happening. A lot of people will say, how come you didn't go be a priest, or how come you didn't do this? I said, hey, the Lord had evidently another mission. And through the army, through high school, when I was little, it was all trying to get people to go to church.
Did you have the thought in your mind ever as a young man about the priesthood?
No, not really.
Marriage was your vocation?
Yeah, not really.
You know, the Second Vatican Council made great mention that everyone baptized is called to holiness. And I do think before the Second Vatican Council, we did have the idea that only priests and sisters.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And by golly, some of them have proved to us they haven't been very holy. And I am just so encouraged to see among lay people, just like the couples we've been interviewing, the younger couples, they edified you, didn't they?
Yeah.
Beautiful people.
Younger, yeah. And still the sacrifices they're making for all the children.
And
there's so many holy families developing today. I wanted to have a senior age couple. You know, remember the first time I talked to you, Gail? And you said, you were going through this frustration because it was rather new yet. And I said, I just see a sick man lying there suffering. And why didn't God give this to a priest or a single person? And I said, aren't you grateful he didn't give it to him when he was a young man? Do you remember what you said?
Yes.
And you said, I never thought of that. And, well, now, when you're going to pray over people, and I know the wounds bleed only at certain times, especially Fridays and all during the Lent and special feast days. We discussed this at Mother Angelica. This is really something. I called him on September 17th to invite whether the two of you would come and be on this series of programs. And it was a Tuesday, not a Friday. And you said to me, Father, I don't understand. Is today some special feast day? My wounds are bleeding today. There's a special pain today. And I said, no, there's no special feast day in the liturgical calendar today. And I felt very, very disappointed that I couldn't give you an answer. And I kept thinking about it for a couple of days. I said, hey, you know, after the Second Vatican Council, the liturgical calendar has been updated.
Mm-hmm.
And we were telling Mother Angelica that really mm-hmm. today. So I went and got out my seminary missal. And because Mother Angelica got ahead of me, she gets ahead of everybody and everything, it seems. And she said, you know, it says 17th of September, the feast of the stigmatization of St. Francis of Assisi. And of course, as Franciscans, they still celebrate it, even though
sure.
it's not on the universal calendar. And you never knew. I called you a few days later.
A couple days later.
Have you figured out yet what the feast day? You said, no. I said, this is the reason the bones were bleeding that day, the reason you had extra suffering. It was the feast of the day when St. Francis.
St. Francis.
Do they bleed when you actually touch people sometimes?
Oh, I have to. I have bands I put on. Like today now, I really should have them with me because I'll just use my fingers there. You can see.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Thursday.
Well, the Fatima Family Apostolate, we have prayer study groups. And I know for many years you have belonged to a prayer group. And so I'm hoping that many, many families who have been following this whole series, that they will order our Fatima Family Charter.
Yes.
And the Marian Manual. Those are the two basic things. And then after they get it, read the charter. It's approved by the Vatican.
Mm-hmm.
I was encouraged by the Pontifical Council of the Laity to found an independent Fatima apostolate. And then within 2 years, this apostolate, after it was founded, got endorsed by the Cardinal Prefect of the Pontifical Council for the Family. And when he came to our national headquarters, he said, my presence here, the Cardinal Gagnon said, my presence mm-hmm. here says more than any words I could ever speak, that I endorse the Fatima Family
That's
Apostolate.
True.
So these groups are meeting, groups of 4 or 5 couples, and in all the ages, the little children, teenagers,
mm-hmm.
for the sanctification of the family. What is your attitude towards the Blessed Sacrament?
Oh, Father, it's our Lord Jesus right there. It's our Lord Jesus right there.
Not bread or wine.
Not bread or wine. That is our Lord Jesus.
When you make the Station of the Cross every day, what do you experience then?
Father, when I make the way of the cross and I start at 1, 2, I've been doing this for years, I just live that station until I go to the next. Then I live.
It's really
that
happening
station.
Now
mm-hmm.
to you.
It's amazing.
Gail, that this happened to your husband, what does a Mass mean to you now?
The crucifixion. It's Christ giving himself. Means probably more to me now, or I think about it more now than I did before.
And the fact that marriage is a covenant in Christ. Man is the head of the family, supposed to represent Christ and the wife, the church. Boy, this sure comes out what's happening in your life.
Yes,
you know, how I want to conclude this program is by blessing you and everybody that's been so wonderful here at EWTN with a relic of the true cross. In nomine Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti, descendo super vos, et maniat semper. Amen. And God love you.
This has been Fatima and the Family. For more information, contact the Immaculate Heart Messenger magazine at 1-800-721-MARY. And please join us again next time for Fatima and the Family here on EWTN, Global Catholic Radio.
Welcome to Founded.